The underarm ace. Well, Dusan Lajovic not appreciating it, but it's in the rules. He's not doing anything wrong. We saw him do it against Rafa in Acapulco. That went down like a lead balloon as well. But Kyrgios leading 4-1.
There you have it. Nick Kyrgios serving underarm, the most divisive shot in tennis.
It's a contentious one, isn't it? A lot of the controversy, Buzz, would be removed if the server announced it. Because you think about it, the serve is the only shot where everybody is set. The patrons are ready, the umpire's ready, the ball kids are ready, the receiver's ready. Everyone knows what's going to come. And then as soon as an underarm serve comes, it's like having the carpet pulled from under you. The receiver's had his pants pulled down, he's not happy. If the underarm server came up and said, I'm going to serve this underarm, everyone would be a lot more chilled about it.
From the service line, or do you think they need to go up to the umpire and put in an official request?
Well, it could be a signal. Like when they're challenging a call, for example, players like Federer will just put a finger up in the air to signify a challenge. So it could be some kind of gesture where the umpire acknowledges it and says something along the lines of, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kyrgios will be serving underarm. But I'm really interested, Buzz, in what is it that riles people about the underarm serve?
Exactly. You've got Rafa Nadal standing 120 metres behind the baseline to receive.
Yes.
Standing that far back when he's actually sometimes in the third row in the crowd.
Sure. He's there, eating popcorn, cracking jokes, waiting to receive. People say, well, what's the problem? Players play a drop shot. Why can't they play an underarm serve? What's the difference?
Well, Remo, speaking of the rule of the underarm serve,
let's hear it.
May a player serve underhand? There is no restriction regarding that kind of service which may be used. That is, the player may use an underhand or an overhand service at his discretion.
Teddy, wonderfully read, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Read from my own personal copy of Budge on Tennis, 1941 edition, which I treasure. Signed by Don Budge and Gene Mako, his doubles partner. Sold a lot of copies in its day, Teddy.
I had the great good pleasure of meeting Don Budge when I was a child. He came off the court and he rubbed my head and said, you have a rather large head, Shingles. And I said, well, Don, you're a wonderful player, but that was a little out of line. I was a very erudite child, I must say. And he laughed and told my mother never to bring me to the tennis again.
Going back to the rule that you've just read out, focusing in on the key word, at his discretion. And I think that's very important to note, that a server at his discretion can decide what he does with the serve. Overarm, underarm, and there's nothing to stop anybody coming up with a new stroke on the serve as well.
That's exactly right. The only person who had problem with that was Big Bill Tilden, who had absolutely no discretion.
Teddy, I think we might just leave a talk on Bill there if I'm a little concerned about where you may be heading with that.
No, it's not the first time.
If I can just go back to perhaps a more ethical gentleman, the great Arthur Ashe, Teddy, who, again, I know you knew very well.
Very well.
And his view on the underarm serve is quite interesting. And I'll quote from his book, Arthur Ashe on Tennis, quite imaginatively titled. I do not understand why more players don't use crazy serves. If you really practiced an underhand side spin serve, you could drive some people nuts and win a whole lot of points. It is entirely legal, and I don't think of it as unethical. Now, that's from Arthur Ashe.
And you don't meet a more ethical person than Arthur Ashe. A wonderful man.
No.
Wonderful man.
No. So all these people who are coming off their chops with an underarm serve, just take note. Arthur Ashe says it's all right.
They've got people in their corner, haven't they?
Okay, so with the underarm serve, Buzz, maybe we should look into what's going on in the head of a person who's using the underarm serve. With Kyrgios, it was definitely tactical. With Chang, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, it was due to injury. And, of course, there was a famous instance with Martina Hingis in the 1999 French Open final where I think it was out of pure desperation.
Look, she tried. What a Michael Chang-like serve.
And the fans don't like it. It worked for Hingis.
But a rather unusual play in light of the score.
Gallagher.
Why?
Anything to throw Steffi off.
It's one thing if it's an injury, a stomach pull or something, but oh.
A remarkable moment, I think, in tennis history that not only do you see the changing of the guard there with, that's Graf's last Grand Slam victory, I believe.
Yes, it is.
And a young Hingis. How old was Hingis? 18, 19?
Hingis was 18.
18 years old. Very, very young to have achieved so much as she had. Would you put this down to mental disintegration?
Well, the whole match in itself is worthy of closer examination because from the start, Martina Hingis is on edge. It's a whole sequence of events that occur in that match that lead up to the underarm. There was Hingis smashing her racket in the first set and getting a point, not a point penalty, but a warning from the umpire. Then followed up by that infamous incident where she disputes a call on Graf's side of the net, crosses the net, which, as you know, Buzz, is a huge no-no.
Obviously doesn't know that.
Maybe they have different rules in the men and women's game, but in the men's game, if you do that, you're history.
And for Hingis, already up a set and a break, this probably is doing her no good. And really, those few fans who are not in Steffi Graf's camp will soon join the German veterans. You have to feel somewhat for Hingis while you salute and applaud the great effort by Graf. These are almost Davis Cup conditions when you are in the camp of the enemy.
And the crowd from that point went absolutely ballistic. Then at a set, all the players take a break. Graf and Hingis leave the court. Graf comes back quickly. The crowd is a little restless. They start a Mexican wave. Graf's in there orchestrating the whole thing, having fun. Still no Hingis. She eventually comes back onto court after at least 10 minutes. And the crowd are on her again. So there's a whole sequence of events leading up to this point.
Hingis, we must mention that in the second set, she served for the match.
Yes, she did.
She was suffering anxiety, whatever it was, in that service game, you can see it. Mm. So she comes out in this third set to a very relaxed Steffi Graf, which is scary in itself. And Steffi Graf, who she put down a week before, 2 weeks before,
well,
saying the time was past.
Let me read you the full quote from Martina Hingis. Steffi had some results in the past, but it's a faster, more athletic game now. She's old now. Her time has passed. Now, I don't know what possessed Martina Hingis to come out with those words.
It's bordering on insanity. Mm. I've seen some of that match, and what struck me was Graf's athleticism. She was a beautiful mover on court. Mm. Her feet never stopped working, and she was, 30 years old. She'd had her share of injuries, and that's what eventually forced her into retirement. But she was a fantastic tennis player even still. Oh. So we go into that third set, and what happens?
We go into that third set. Graf has it pretty much under control.
Yeah.
She's dictating the set and reaches match point. Hingis is serving, match point to Graf, and then Hingis pulls out the underarm serve and on a match point and wins the point.
On a match point. Now, you've got to say, for underarm serving, there is no bigger theatre, no bigger moment in tennis than a Grand Slam final.
No.
When you've got match point against you to pull that out.
I don't believe that's ever happened before. And the crowd went absolutely crazy. The look on Graf's face looked like she'd just eaten a lemon. Her response was very sour. Hingis just seemed to be oblivious to it all. She was in a space that I think she's probably never been in before on the tennis court during that match.
There was another match point.
Second match point, Hingis serves underarm again.
Again?
Faults this time.
Remo, again?
Again.
Merci. There we go.
She was quite mercenary in her approach to tennis, a lot of people would suggest. It worked the first time, faltered, serve the second serve conventionally, overarm, then loses the match, and the crowd are just absolutely hysterical.
She's done it again, Steffi Graf. Six times the champion in Paris.
Now, I don't know what more Martina Hingis could have done to inflame the French crowd other than maybe burning an effigy of Edith Piaf in front of them. Perhaps that would have done it, but she was almost oblivious to her actions that day.
And she was pretty much like that in her career. She was very, yes, very focused in that way in herself.
Mm.
Certainly it served her. She won a lot of slams, and it must be pointed out that the nerve she felt she hadn't yet won the French. This was going to be,
yes,
this was going to complete the set.
Yes.
Her mantelpiece, she had a special place.
Mm.
She was going to put that trophy there.
Yep.
All done.
That's right.
And yet Steffi Graf, the old Steffi Graf supposedly.
Yes.
Took her apart in the end.
Snatched it away.
Snatched it away.
Yep.
And Martina Hingis never won the French Open.
Never won the French Open. Picked up a racket bag. Walked off court. About 5 or 10 minutes later, is brought back on court by her mother. Sobbing uncontrollably.
The mother?
No. Hingis sobbing first.
Right.
Then her mother sobbed. And the two of them sobbed together.
Alternately.
And it was quite sad. Quite touching. Because this was not a coach and a tennis player. This was a mother and a daughter.
Yeah.
And a mother comforting her daughter. Hingis literally heaving with sobs. It was very, very sad.
A heartbroken Martina Hingis in the arms of her mother returns to the court.
His mother, it's got to be tough for Melanie Molitor. Her daughter's 18 years old, still a teenager, and to hear that crowd cheering against her had to be pulling at her heart.
And I have to give credit to Hingis, because in the post-match speech, and she spoke in French, she was very gracious. She spoke, she stood there mm-hmm. and spoke. I would love to sit down with Martina Hingis and talk through that match with her.
I doubt she would want to sit down and talk about it. I mean,
she stand up and talk about it?
I don't know, maybe. But what we're looking at here is we've set the scene there of a mental disintegration, and at that point is where the underarm serve comes out.
Mm.
When someone is at the absolute edge of their mental capacity.
Yes.
My question to you is, and I hope this isn't going off topic at all.
Mm.
Over the years, we've seen many, particularly female tennis players, go through periods where they have incredible difficulty with their ball toss. I'm thinking of Maria Sharapova, Anna Ivanovic, I believe, had it for a while.
Yes. Also, the glamorous young Russian blonde whose name is
Kornikova,
who teamed up with Hingis. They played a lot of doubles together.
That's right.
I'm sure Kornikova also got the yips, as it's called.
Yes. So at some point, you've got to think, it can't be any worse to throw in an underarm serve. They're losing. They're double faulting. Throw in the underarm.
Simplifies things, doesn't it?
It does.
Take the service toss out of the serve.
Yeah. I mean, if you get the underarm serve wrong, it's going to be a winner coming back at you. But a low ball near the net is not easy.
What do you do with it?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. It's hard to put away.
It certainly is. And the fact that it's not practiced and just pulled out, I'm sure Hingis wouldn't have practiced that.
No, exactly.
But again, why to pull that out? It was almost she shrugs her shoulders after she does it. Like, well, what have I got left?
Unless Hingis did practice it. Maybe that's all she was doing.
You
in the week leading up, going, this old woman can't get to the net.
She's waiting for this moment. The moment has arisen where I will now pull out the underarm serve.
Maybe she thought there was going to be a fanfare when she did it. Like, you know, people would stand up and applaud, and that's why she was crying later. She thought, man, I pulled out this genius move and no one's digging it.
Well, this is the thing. You can't always rely on the whimsy of a French crowd because you never know which way it's going to turn.
I've always said that.
You can't.
You can't rely on the whimsy of a French crowd.
On another day, they may have applauded and laughed and thrown their croissants onto the court.
Yeah, and their pipes.
In appreciation.
So that's a mental disintegration. But there's also physical disintegration.
And this is the only time where everyone seems cool with an underarm serve. If you're cramping, if you've pulled a stomach muscle and you have to serve underarm and it's known, everybody is relaxed about it.
If you're in intensive care in hospital.
That's sure.
Yeah, anything where you're incapacitated to the point where you cannot serve overarm.
That's right. I've seen some players lose the use of both legs. They're lying flat on their back And they'll fashion an underarm serve, and everyone's okay with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not very successful, but they're not going to draw the ire of the crowd or the opponent.
Well, let's have a listen to possibly the most famous example of someone going through physical disintegration and resorting to the underarm serve. So, Rima, we're talking about the French Open. Michael Chang against Ivan Lendl, who I believe was number one in the world at the time. And Michael Chang was in trouble physically. And so what does Michael Chang do? He pulls out the underarm serve, and that's why we're talking about it.
Physically, he couldn't lift his arm above his head.
Which made it very difficult to serve. It also made it very difficult for him to bring in his washing.
He had all sorts of troubles. Mm. He wasn't able to lift his arm over his head for quite a while after that match. Well, no one has anything bad to say about Chang serving underarm, although I think Lendl berated him savagely and called him weak and insignificant. But when he found out that Chang was injured, he took it all back.
Yeah, he wanted to see medical reports. Once he saw the medical reports and interviewed the doctor and took an MRI scan, he was fine.
Yeah.
And Lendl was like that. Well, he was very fair.
Yeah, he's a detail kind of guy, so he needs to tick off the boxes and then he's comfortable.
So what I'm thinking here, Remo, is that should there be a call that is put out for the reintroduction or the destigmatization of the underarm serve as an honest and proud tactic to use in this wonderful game of tennis?
Look, if we could get the top 10 men and women players on board with this, there'd be no problem, no issue. Everyone would just say, well, it's part of the game. What's so unacceptable about it? But we need to have some champions, some advocates.
I know Kevin Anderson, who's a huge server, he's come out in favour of the underarm as well. And that's interesting for someone whose game is built around a big first serve. Interesting comment.
Yeah, Kevin Anderson's a very, very logical human being, though. So he's obviously pulled apart the argument and endorsed it.
Well, if Kevin Anderson needs any help, we know just the guy. Have a listen to this.
Hello, my name is Gino, and today I would like to talk about and demonstrate what I feel is the most underused weapon in the game of tennis, the underhand serve. At whatever level you compete at, whether it's the club level, high school, college, or even at the pro level. And Roger, if you watch this video, I believe this serve can become the sleeping giant in your game. If you hit this serve the right way, it will become your ace in the hole.
Okay, now that's Gino Fava. You hear him there actually putting out a call to Roger Federer. He's saying, Roger, I want you to embrace the underarm serve. But not any underarm serve. Gino will go in there and he will show you the awesome power behind a properly delivered underarm serve. And you can see that the chap on this YouTube clip hasn't got a hope of returning Gino's serve. There's so much spin on it. The guy's flailing away like some hack.
It's almost like it's a 90-degree turn on that ball.
Oh, it's amazing. We've talked about Nick Kyrgios using it. I've got an idea here. Nicky's looking for a coach. Could you imagine Nick Kyrgios teaming up with Gino Fava as his coach? I think that combination,
that's a winner,
would be unstoppable.
Yeah, unstoppable.
It would be the greatest pairing since Shriver and Lazenby. I mean, really. Gino, forget about Roger. Roger's doing okay. Get Nick on board. We know Nick likes to serve underarm. Gino likes to teach underarm. They're believers. We have a guru and a disciple.
It's a marriage made in heaven right there. Not only that, Nick Kyrgios loves to get under the skin of his opposition.
Could you imagine him turning up to Grand Slam tournaments with Gino in his box?
I can picture it now.
That sound you're listening to is the Australian cockatoo, which some scientists say is a direct descendant from the mighty Tyrannosaurus rex, which roamed the Australian countryside as far back as the 1830s. Now, I don't subscribe to that theory, but I do subscribe to Off the Frame with Buzz and Remo. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. Hey, get off me! Hey, no, get off me! Get off me!